Are you ready for the word? Amen. The word comes to wash us. The word comes to change us. The word comes to encounter and challenge things in our life. And the word is our roadmap. The word of God is your roadmap to everything you need. Everything. Not just some things, not just when I feel like it, not just my crisis roadmap. It is my roadmap all the time. And the word of God is powerful and strong. And I got a lot of things up here, so let me switch these around here. How about Tim Fox getting up here in his shorts today in the middle of worship? I was like, people who are walking in are probably like, what is going on here? I don't even know. Is this a beach church? Like, I don't know. I'm going to prophesy a satellite church on Pensacola Beach in Jesus' name. Amen. Sign me up. Sign me up. Well, listen, just as I really want to connect this word today to what happened in the atmosphere. Because I just believe that when we begin to really understand what God is doing, what he's saying over our lives, and we don't just talk about it, and we don't just spend time thinking about it, but we put it into action. What a powerful presence in the room. Somebody just shout transformation. Woo. So, how do we get to this place of transformation? How do these people that in front of all of us today and in their little black t-shirt and their beach towel got in here and said, I'm going to jump in this random jacuzzi tub on a Sunday morning in the front of this church and I want God to transform my life. How do we get to that place? Well, we start by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you watch that this morning, and if you're in the room this morning, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you don't know what it feels like to get up and profess what these people did and said, no, you don't understand. He's changed my life. He's set me free. And you want that, you're going to get that opportunity. I want you to let that marinate in your heart. And those of us in this room that we have accepted Jesus and we have said, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I do want you to be in charge of my life. I want you to be over everything. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. I believe you are Jesus, the Son of God, that you went to the cross for me. You took all my sins, all my diseases, all the wrong things and wrong choices I was going to do. And you took it on the cross and you did that for me. So I want you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me. If you've said that, there is now a pathway for you and I to walk. And so this morning I want to talk quickly about what that is. And if I could title this message, I'm going to title it, I Know the Way. Now, if you've ever been with somebody who thinks they know directions everywhere, Is anybody married to one of those? Is anybody like, they need no map, they need no GPS, they do absolutely never need to stop and ask for directions by any means. I know the way. I know the way. Has anybody ever heard that before? I know the way. Listen, I do not know the way places. I can own it. I can go ahead and just confess that to you guys. Waze and Google Maps are my best friends. And so I love them. I call Waze is one of my favorite. It's an app you can get that's kind of like Google Maps. And she tells you everything that's going on the road, even things you don't want to know. Like, she just tells you. Like, there's a car on the side of the road, or, hey, there's a policeman ahead. You know, whatever's going on. So I call her Wazy Daisy. So when I get out my maps, right, I want that to tell me the direction and the way to get where I'm going, right? I don't know the way, but I need this map, this amazing app that somebody created that will tell me the way. So yesterday, Sophie and I, we love yard sailing, and we went yesterday to a couple of yard sales. It's the first Saturday morning we've had in a while to do that. And so we went out and about, and I'm always looking at signs and trying to find signs, and I know I should look on an app, but we were near East Hill, and there was a sign that said, I don't know, it was 2801, something like that, East Strong Street, yard sale. But that sign was like about a 5-minute drive away from where the actual yard sale was. So I had to open Wazy Daisy and put in that address so I could go find where that yard sale was. And I had to make a lot of U-turns in that process. Because even though there was a sign, I did not know the way. Are y'all with me? Even though there was a sign that I was reading and I saw the sign, but I still did not know the way in which to get there. And because I didn't have my amazing husband who knows the way to everything, I had to put it in to one of my map apps so that I could find that out. And how many of you know if you just put something in your map, if you just open your map and you're just like, I want to know the way to Strong Street. If I don't put in the destination, it can't show me the way. And I think sometimes we are coming to God and we're like, God, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to take over my life. And da, da, da. But you have no idea of any sort of destination. And all you want Jesus to is to miraculously drop out of the sky the way. Let me tell you something. The way is not a thing. The way is not a place. The way is a person. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Excuse me, while you're turning there, I'm going to give you the setting of what's happened just before this. How many of you know the setting in the Bible and what we're reading? You need to know what happened before and what's about to happen after so you understand the context of what you're reading. So the setting of this is in John chapter 13. That is the story about the Last Supper. This is when Jesus brought all his disciples up. He washes their feet. He declares, hey, there's one of you that's going to betray me. There's one of you that's going to deny me. All this just happened, all right? And the disciples are already, their heads are spinning a little bit because Jesus is acting a little strange. They're like, okay, all right, he washed our feet. One of the 12 of us is no longer here. I don't know what that's about. What did he mean by that? What's going to happen? Jesus, what's going on? We've been following you around for 3 years. What's happening? That's the setting. So in John 14, Jesus begins to talk about what is to come. All right? So look in verse 1. Don't let your heart be troubled. You understand the disciples right now were a little concerned what was happening. You know that when things get shaken up a bit, our hearts get a little stirred up, our minds start racing with the thoughts of what ifs and what's happening, and I'm confused and I don't understand. When trials come, when difficulties come, when things that I did not plan happen, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and I prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Now let's stop right there for a minute. Jesus says, hey, I know you guys are feeling a little shaken up. Judas has left the room. Things are a little crazy. I've told you some bad things are about to happen. And he says, but hey, wait, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. He didn't say believe in something or someone. He said, believe in me. Don't just believe in my words. Don't believe in your feelings. Don't believe in your emotions. Believe in me. And then he says at the end of that, of verse 4, he says, you know the way to where I'm going. Now, I'm thinking the disciples are sitting there thinking, I'm sorry, Jesus, we don't know anywhere you're going right now. We have no earthly idea where you're going because everything you've told us in the last 24 hours is just blowing our minds. What's happening? But Jesus says, you know the way to where I'm going. Because Jesus wasn't talking about a pathway. He was talking about himself. You know the way where I'm going. Are you guys following me? Verse 5, gotta love Thomas. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I love it because somebody in the room pipes up and is like, I'm sorry, Jesus, this makes no sense. Let's take a moment. So you got to love that Thomas, who's going to clarify things for all people, speaks up in the room. Thank God for those people sometimes. And he speaks up and he says, hey, Jesus, excuse me, we don't have a clue what you're talking about. Sorry, this is the Angela translation. We don't really get anything you're talking about. We don't know where you're going, so how would we know the way? That's like saying, I don't know the destination, so I need Waze to tell me the way. Well, Waze or Google Maps is not going to tell you the way if you don't give it a destination. I said that. So Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And what did Jesus say back to him in verse 6? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you know me, then you will also know my Father. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Now let me say that again. Jesus' response was, guys, you've missed it altogether. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. See, he wasn't like talking like, hey, maybe you guys will get this, or let me give you guys a 10-point message and we'll all get together and I'll spell it out for you. No, he was saying, you know me, so you know the way. Here's the thing. We are living in a world right now that it does not make sense to serve Jesus the way the Bible talks about. To lay your life down, to say I'm all in, to say I want you, Jesus, this person I can't tangibly see or touch with my fingers, but I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be the way. I want you to be my truth. See, truth is quite the buzzword right now. And you guys know this. People are talking about this everywhere right now. I have my own truth. I'm going to live my own truth. You need to hear my truth. I understand that's your truth, but here's my truth. There's only one truth. There's only one truth. And your feelings and your opinions are not truth. There is one truth, and truth is not a thing. It's a person. So therefore, we have to know the way in order to know the truth. And we get that out of order because we want to shove down people's throats my truth, the truth, your truth. We want to say, this is how it is. This is truth. No, Jesus is truth. And you can't know Jesus just by regurgitating something he said. You know Jesus by spending time with him and learning to follow the way. Because we're following the wrong things. I'm sorry, I'm going to try to be kind. But here's the thing. If we don't, as Christ followers, begin to understand what a Christ follower is, then we will just repeat history over and over and over, and people will never know God. They will just know about him. And it is my life's mission to know him. The only way I will know truth is if I know him. The only way I will know the way to anywhere I am supposed to go is if I know him, because he is the way. He is the way. I love that Jesus was so quick to respond. He knew Thomas was the biggest doubter in the room. He already knew that. And I love it that Thomas is the one who asked him, and he answers not with something knowledge-based, not with something intellectual. And I'm not against being intellectual. I think every one of us should be the smartest and most intellectual lifelong learners we can be. I'm an educator. I believe in that. But there are some things that you just have to know. And he didn't answer him with an intellectual thing, because the way is not a road. It's not even just a process. It's a person. Look at somebody and say, it's a person. Say, the truth is a person. Say, the way is a person. See, if we can get that, if we can get the concept that he said, I'm the way first, then he said, I'm the truth. See, once we get that understanding that when we are in the way, and I am on my way, truth should just become my oxygen that keeps me going. The way is a person. The truth is a person. Truth is relational, y'all. Are you hearing that in this? He's saying to them, truth isn't a topic. Truth is relational. It's an interaction between you and him. It's relational. And truth is something that needs to be encountered, not just explained. That's why I said, he said, I am the way. They did that in worship. Tim said it when he got up here. I am. Not let me try to let you figure me out. That's why when he went to the disciples, he said, follow me. They didn't know where he was going. Nobody in their right mind in this day and time, if I'm just waltzing by and I'm like, hey, just come follow me. They're like, I don't even know you. Why would I follow you? I don't know who you are. I don't know what you stand for. I don't know what you believe. I don't know anything about your life. I'm sure not following you. Although, if I read one thing on Instagram, I will very quickly follow you. But I don't know you. All right, let me lighten it up for a minute. So I have a little new hairdo going on this morning. Thank you, Maria. But I've never been able to make these tousled curls with a flat iron. Stresses me out, y'all. Like, I am not that girl. I am not the girl that's just like, oh, I just do this. So literally, this is the first time I've tried to do it, and I'm sending Maria pictures like, how'd I do? Like, does this look horrible? But what am I doing? I'm flipping on YouTube to this girl that I follow that I love to watch her do it, because she seems to make it simple enough that I think I can follow and do what she does. But I have no idea who this girl is. But I may have spent more time watching her video on how to curl hair this week than I did in the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that's legalism. I'm not saying you can't watch a video and you have to count your time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus is saying, I am the way, and I want you to follow me. And in order to follow me, you have to know me. Don't just follow me because it sounds like the right thing to do in an emotional moment of a baptism service. No, it means, listen, I am the way for your life. I am the only truth that there is. I am the life that you're crying out for. It's to know him. So how should I engage with truth? Hold on a second. How should I engage with truth? See, when truth is discovered, apart from the way, it will lead you to religion. Ooh, Angela, what does that mean? It means that if you just focus on the truth, but you don't know Jesus, the way, you will get it mixed up in your head that it's all about works and it's all about religious acts. Because religious acts and works do not know him. people think you know him when you act that way, but there's a difference. And we are called to be those that know him. All right, I'm almost done, y'all. I know I got to put it in the microwave. This is how I should engage with truth. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to wrap up with this concept. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And I'm going to read it out of the message with my old person glasses. Are you tired? Anybody? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? I am. And I've grown up in the church my whole life. I don't want to just know about church. I want to know Jesus. Church is part of who Jesus is. This is his house, so I want to show up where he is. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'm not a good rester, y'all. I don't relax well. I go, 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 go. And relaxing seems like a waste of time to me, if I'm being honest. I don't take naps. I know. If you're a napper, I'm sorry. It's okay. Tim's a napper. I can't take naps. I bounce off the walls as it is. I don't need that. But God sometimes needs to show us how to take a real rest so that our life and our mind and our circumstances don't get so overwhelming that we lose him in the middle of it. He says this, walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He says three things, y'all. He says, walk with me, work with me, and watch how I do it. Somebody say, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. That's how we become a follower of Christ. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. The best training almost on any job you can do is OJT, on-the-job training. Why? Because you're walking alongside this person. You're working with them and following their instructions. And you're watching how they do it, and you're imitating it. I want to tell you the definition of follow from one of the dictionaries online that I looked up. There were actually about 12 definitions in different contexts. I'm going to read you three of them. One of them was to engage as a calling or a way of life. Pursuit. That's walk with me. The second definition is to accept as authority, which means obey. That means work with me. Number three, to copy after or imitate, which means watch me do it. So it's very clear that when we understand the word follow has these in its actual definition. See, we hear follow me and we think we're supposed to go study him. Follow me. He didn't say, come and just learn about me, which is part of it. He didn't say, follow me and I want you to come figure everything out about me. We'll never do that, y'all. We'll never do that. We have to begin to understand when he says, follow me, he's saying, walk with me, pursue me. Work with me. Give me permission to be the authority in your life and obey me. And then I want you to watch what I do and I want you to imitate it. That's so simple, Angela. Yeah, it's that simple, but we don't do it. So what I'm challenging all of us today, including me too, is that I want to learn how to follow Christ. I can't look at you as a pastor in this church and say, follow me as I follow Christ if I don't know how to follow Christ. You can't look at people that God's assigned your life to, that you're supposed to be mentoring and discipling and pouring into and reproducing. You have to learn to be followers of Christ. Not just as a fun cliche word that we use right now, I'm a Christ follower. What does that mean? It means I walk with him every day. It means I hang out with him. I get up and talk to him like a real person. I read his word. I don't just read it to say I read it. I read it in order to apply something in my life. I spend time with him. I worship him. I have relationship with him. I give him permission to be the authority in my life. And when he tells me to do something, then it is my choice to obey him. But I have given him permission. So therefore, when he tells me, I do it. Anybody have kids? Anybody parents in here? How does it feel when you tell them to do it and they don't do it? The fifth time. The tenth time. How many times have I told you? I hear Jesus that over that my life all the time. This is one of the things I'm working on to be a follower. I'm not talking about bad choices I'm making, but I'm talking about being obedient, like when I'm standing at Target. And he's like, I told you to tell that lady this. And I'm like, God, she's going to think I'm weird. I'm not going to be that kind of girl. But when I obey, tears start flowing in the middle of Target. And she says, I've been seeking, I've been asking, and I'm broken. And you're the first person who's ever had the guts to say something to me. See, I didn't have the guts, but he did. And all I have to do is do what he said. Remember that he said over and over in the word, I just watch what my father does and I do it. He said it over and over. Read it in John 14. Read it in John 15. He says it over and over. Well, Jesus, where are you going? I'm going where my father's going. Well, Jesus, what are you going to be doing? I only do what I see my father do. That's what I do. It's a simple concept, y'all, to be a follower, but it requires action. Follow me. Where? You know what's fun about God is he rarely ever tells us where we're going. Or is that just me? Look back at Abraham. He said to Abraham, hey, Abraham, get up and go where I'm calling you. And Abraham's like, well, where is that? He said, just get up and go, and I'll tell you when you get there. Well, what does that mean? I need to know where I'm going. I'm not going to tell you. I just want you to get up, and I want you to go, and I'll tell you when you get there. But we have to trust God that much. Where does trust come out of? When you have relationship. You can't trust someone you don't have a relationship with. I can sing a song all day long. I trust you, Jesus. I trust in you. I trust in you. But if I don't have relationship with you, that's just words in a song. That's why I said following is relational. Truth is relational. Even if we don't know where we're going, it's more important to know the who. And the key I'm going to leave you with this morning. I told you I was going to be short. The key I'm going to leave you with is a person, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have him in your life, it's going to be hard to know the way. The Holy Spirit, Jesus gave him to you and I. He said it. Let's look really quickly in John 14, verse 26. So this is a little bit later on down in this conversation. Jesus has said, hey, don't be troubled. Believe in me. Hey, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Da, da, da. And he starts telling all these things about that he's going away and he's preparing a place and he's doing all these things. And in verse 26, he says, but the counselor, every one of us, my Lord, need a counselor. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Since I had chemo a couple years ago, my memory is a little, and God and I keep having conversations about that. But I'm telling you, if I remember something important, it's the Holy Spirit. It is not me. My poor little brain, it is not me. And I do cognitive training for a living, and it's still not enough without the Holy Spirit. Because it says he will remind you what God said about you. He will remind you the promise that God said over your life and over your marriage and over your children and over your job and over your future. You need the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15, he says it again in verse 26 and verse 27. He is trying to tell the disciples, y'all, I'm leaving, but oh, what I'm going to leave with you. You won't even miss me because I am leaving the one that is me. And he's going to live on the inside of you. And he's going to be your friend and your counselor and your coach all the time. John 15, verse 26. When the friend I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of what? Truth. See, if you don't know the way, you don't know the truth. Guess who's going to reveal truth to you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Right? When this friend comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father, he will confirm everything about me. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence since you are in this with me from the start. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. See, we don't rely on him enough. We don't depend on him enough. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to do this my way today. And then when it goes wrong, I'm going to see if the Holy Spirit will come help me. Does anybody else have that experience? Or is it just me on a daily basis? I'm going to do it my way. And then when things just crash and burn, I'm like, Holy Spirit, you're supposed to help me. He's like, I was, but you weren't listening. We better know him and know his voice in this season, in this generation, in the earth. We better know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I cannot be strong enough about that. Following is going to require the Holy Spirit in your life. Somebody say, pursue, obey, imitate. Walk with me, work with me, watch me do it. Guess what the Holy Spirit does alongside you? He walks with you. He says, hey, Angie, you need to do this right now. All right, Holy Spirit, I'm going to work with you. You better show up. You better show up. He always does. And then he says, I want you to watch what I do, and then I want you to do it. Where do I learn to watch what he did? Right here. Right here. Right here. Do everything Jesus said to do. Be like him. That's how. After we submerge ourselves in some water and we're like, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I want you to come and I want the old man to die. And Tim said it over and over today. I want the new things to come to light. The worship team, y'all can come. I want the new things to come to life. God, I want all things to be new. Then you've got to learn to do it his way. He is the way. He is the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. This is such a simple message, but I felt so strong for the Holy Spirit. He was so on me yesterday. He said, Ange, walk with me, honey. Come and work with me. The world won't see me if you don't let me be the way. And that's what we're designed to be, is a light in this world. A light in the darkness. Come on, everybody, just stand to your feet. I know we threw a lot in this service today, but how many of you know it's good when God's in it? Oh. Holy Spirit, right now, I thank you for this atmosphere. I thank you that you're here. You're always here because you're in us. You're in us. And Jesus, we don't just want to say, I want to follow you, but we want to know you. We want to know you. I want to know you better than I know my husband. I want to know you better than I know anything or anyone else or even that I think I know. I want to know you like that. God, I pray that we would become Christ followers that don't just follow you like we follow on Instagram, but we know you. I subscribe to your plan, God. I want to subscribe to your channel. I want to subscribe to what you're doing. I want to subscribe to what you're making and creating and designing. So if that's you this morning, and I said I was going to give you the opportunity, I know there are people in this room that you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. And you need to not just say it in word, but God, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you how to follow Jesus. And if that's you, I want you to not just slip your hand up. I want you to come down here. Why? Because I want you to make a bold enough step that says, when I take a step, it's my prophetic gesture that I'm following you today, Jesus. There's somebody in this room that you need to rededicate your life. You have accepted Jesus in your life, but you have been on a different path. Jesus has not been the way, you've been in your way. And today God wants you to get out of your way so he can be the way. If that's you, I want you to meet me down here. Come on, quick, quick, quick. I know it's a hard decision to get out of your seat. Angela, why are you making me do that? I'm not making you do anything. That's your choice. Come on, who in here needs to know Jesus? Who in here needs to know the way? How many of you have been living in your own truth? And today you want God to be the Lord of your life. You want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Anybody in the room? Anybody in the room? Maybe you need to grab somebody and bring them with you. Anybody in the room? I'm going to give you a minute. Jesus wants to be Lord of our lives. Jesus wants to be Lord of our lives. Come on, who else? There is somebody in the room, you've been going your own way. You've been going your own way. Give Jesus a chance and do it his way. Give Jesus a chance. Come on and do it his way. His way is better. I promise you, his way is better. I promise you, his way is better. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life today. Come on, I need somebody up here with this young lady right here. See, if we can show people like that, it would be so contagious, they would want whatever you have. And we have to learn to become that kind of person like Jesus. We're supposed to be striving to be like him. For the rest of us in this room, I believe God wants to take us to a new level of following. Does anybody want to go with me to a new level of following? I don't want to follow him like I've followed him for the last 50 years. I want to follow him the way he's called me to follow him. I want to know him. I want to know him like I've never known him. I want to know it when his mood shifts. I want to know how he's breathing today. I want to know what he's saying over you and over me. Come on, if that's you, I just want you to raise both your hands right now where you're at. Just raise both your hands. I want to be a follower. I want to be your follower. I want to make a decision today, God, to follow you. Not just what I think you are, not just what I try to explain. I want to follow you. Come on, let that be the cry of your spirit today. Come on, worship team, I just want y'all to sing that. Come on, I want Would you declare this? Just raise the music. I have decided to follow you like I've never followed you, Jesus. I want you to be Lord of my life like you've never been.
No turning back. No turning back.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Come on, declare that. Declare it out of your spirit right now. Declare it in a new way, at a new level.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back.
Come on, we're only going one direction. We're only following after Him. We're pursuing Him. We're obeying Him. We're imitating Him today.
No turning back, no turning.
This with you today. Be a follower. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him. He is the way. Before we leave today, I gave you the key to following. I gave you the key. Who was the key? The Holy Spirit. And this morning, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, you heard a couple of these people today say, I got here. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had the gifts begin to flow in my life. And you're thinking, what does that mean? It's power. It's your power tool in the Spirit. So today, if you've never received the Holy Spirit and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're not dunking you in water. We're going to pray for you today. And so if that's you, I want you to come meet me up front. Anybody want to get filled with the Holy Spirit today? Anybody want to speak in tongues today? You're like, ooh, Angela, you're awfully bold today on a Sunday morning. Yes, I am, because I know what you need. And what we've been doing isn't working. Anybody want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? I invite you up here. Come on, man. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm telling you, it's your power tool. It's your power tool. Come on, Teen Challenge. Any of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, when we don't know how to pray, we pray in the Spirit. When I don't know what to do in my following, I have to know the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Anybody else? We're going to pray for these right now. They're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you pray in tongues right now in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Begin to stir up your own spirit. Begin to stir up the atmosphere where the enemy can't understand you. Come on. Holy Spirit, come and show us. Come and show us how to follow.